Well, I was in the discussion too, and you know, with this, you know how these meetings go. We did talk about that there would be further refinement on the Saturday Sunday portion of the meeting, and that there had been, you know, in the past, these days are filled with an awful lot of reports, and so we talked about refining that and maybe not having as many reports and more action during that meeting. It's the first meeting of the PNB, and there's just an awful lot of housekeeping. I mean, as you all know, that first meeting is we have to elect people to committees, and it just really takes a long time with the housekeeping issues. And so the day that we have to do the board orientation is Friday, and even we also know that not as hard as we try, not everybody is there early in the morning on Friday morning too. So some people stream in during that. And what we really felt strongly that we have got to cover, you know, what it means, what are your fiduciary responsibilities in being a board. You know, it's a little different than being an LSB member. We expect to have some new people. And then the thing that we found to be the most important was talking to each other and doing some strategy sessions and having, you know, rather than, you know, just dealing with what comes at us throughout the year, that it would be more about setting goals and creating some timelines, just figuring out together what we want to do before we start to attempt to have it done to us, if you will. What we thought would be important is that the board this time could actually go forward with a plan. And, you know, I've found these to be the most rewarding sessions that we ever do, especially starting out that way. We just felt it's really important. And it, you know, we felt that the recommendation on anti-racism training is really important, but that it would be best spent to do it at the second meeting. Now, I know Evelyn reported to the LSB tonight that their committee was also thinking by now it should be in the second meeting of the PNB. So I hope that that's not I don't know if that's an issue, but there's just an awful lot of legal things that we need to hear from our council and our ED. Even if they're the same person. And so anyway, I just hope that everyone will support this. I'm sorry, I kind of got long-winded about this thing, but what Dave's talking about was, you know, rather than having the whole board plan every hour, that we could empower a couple of people in our number to kind of figure out how the hours would be spent and just sort of set up that Friday day in consultation with the national office. So that's why I'm in support of the motion.
Okay. Thomas.
Anyone else? Go ahead, Thomas.
The motion sounds fine, but it sounds like whether the whole board works with the national office to plan this day or whether a few people work with the national office to plan this day, we're going to make the same mistakes that the January meeting that we made at the beginning of this year. The first thing, I think it would be good if one or two people, and certainly no more than three people, work with who's ever going to be in charge in the national office to put this together. That would be fine. The rest of us don't have to do that. Second point, we don't need to hear any reports about anything other than finances, legal issues, and the problems with Pacifica. Now, I shouldn't say we since I'm not going to be on that board, but it's a pure waste of time to have reports from every department within Pacifica and give it to people who just got on the board. They don't know. And then what's truly disingenuous is to give them these reports that sound like a pep rally and don't tell the people what the problems are. We have people running for local station boards right here in D.C. I hear it. These people don't know what the problems are. This is foolish and disingenuous. Number three, it's a pure waste of time to ask people to set out their objectives for the year. All you're going to do is just what we did last year, fill a wall with a bunch of nicey-nicey things that ain't going to get done. I mean, why do y'all do this stuff, man? It's, make the thing simple and effective. And please, as much as I hate racist bigotry, don't have the anti-discrimination thing. I mean, it's so hypocritical. Don't do it. If we were fighting against that, we would have fought it in New York, we would have fought it in Los Angeles, and we would do something elsewhere. We're not fighting that. And it's just so hypocritical. It's a pure waste of time. And this organization and the people within it aren't going to ever come together to fight effectively against it. And to have nicey-nicey seminars about the subject don't cure the ailment. Don't solve the problem. So please, let's have a few people work on it, but don't do the same stuff y'all did last year. Please don't.
Can I ask Thomas?
Thank you.
No.
Who else?
Lydia.
Lydia, go ahead.
Lisa, yes, I would like to amend it to be two people plus the executive director plus whoever else at National is actually working on it. Pull it together. That's my amendment. Instead of three, to make it two.
Yeah,
prior to the amendment, can we
sure.
adjust it to say that there will be two board members in concert with the executive director shall be empowered to organize the orientation session for Friday? And the reason I want to do that language is that the two or the executive director can ask anybody they want to be involved in the discussion, but the point is, what group is in power?
Yes, that's fine. That's what I was going for. Thanks.
You want an amendment?
Before you ask for a second, you can adjust language without going through the whole thing before you asked before it seconded. So if she was
right,
willing,
and I'm accepting the adjustment to the language of my amendment.
Okay, then I'll second it.
So everyone's clear. The way this was done in the past, it was just the chair and the ED that decided this stuff. So, but now the chair doesn't have time to do it.
Okay. So go ahead and read that motion.
The amendment would be that the board appoint two of its members via STV, who along with the ED would be empowered to plan and organize the orientation session for the incoming board at the Friday session of the January PMB meeting.
How about the rest of the weekend?
The chair has asked for the consent. Well, while I was chair, I always asked for the consent of the board to go ahead and organize that. Prior to my tenure, the chair always just did it. And the issue here was that there was a lot of planning involved. I can still do the scheduling for the items in concert with the ED, the rest of the business meeting. I have no problem doing that. So if people want to do something other than that, they can. But I thought for the scheduling of the orientation, that's a ton of work. And I, as Wendy said, I don't have the time available for that.
All right. I'm also
going to the rest of the... Hi, this is Ray. For information.
Okay, just a second here. So let's go to the amended motion here. Has been seconded by Dave?
Yes.
Okay. Any objections to the amended motion? Amended by Lydia.
Bob?
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, my concern is that whenever you do an STV election, you have to go through that whole mail ballot process, and I'm wondering if we can streamline that by some form of just general agreement. Maybe if two people want to volunteer tonight, maybe we could. It might not be, might not be a difficulty to just agree on a couple people. I mean, unless there is a long list of people who want to do it, and then I guess we would have to have an STV vote.
I second that.
Dave?
If we only have two people, we could, by acclamation, appoint them. If we have more than two people, I believe the bylaws require that we vote via STV.
Okay, just one second. Can I just suspend the rule here for just one second and see who's interested in organizing that Friday?
Point of order, shouldn't we approve the amendment first?
I don't think it's in.
Well, doesn't matter. Okay, go ahead and let's see here. How about amendment? Any objection to Lydia's amendment? No, the amendment passes. And the motion, as amended, reads, Dave, could you read it?
Yeah, I'm also emailing this to the whole board.
Thank you.
I realize this is a paraphrase, but it's the same sentiment, that the board appoint two of its members who, along with the executive director, shall be empowered to organize the orientation session for Friday of the January in-person PNB meeting.
Okay. So that's pretty clear. So that takes the STV out of it.
Right. Well, STV is implied.
Okay. Well,
this is Ray.
Just one second. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I think it would be important to have somebody locally placed. In the past we've had different people doing training coming from outside of the area, but I think it's easier for a variety of reasons, logistically and so on, to have somebody locally. So I would nominate Bob Lederer.
Ray. Could we just pass this motion, and then after that we can come back and find who we can appoint?
I thought we passed it.
No, we're not yet.
Oh, okay.
I thought we did.
I thought we had just done that.
He asked for the amendment to be accepted. He didn't ask for the main motion as amended.
Okay. The main motion as amended, is that acceptable to everyone? Okay, so the main motion as amended passes. So now we have to select two people to work with the ED to organize the Friday meeting. So I would like nominations for that.
Well, this is Ray.
Okay, Ray.
We interpret nomination of Bob Lederer.
Okay. Bob, who else?
I'd nominate Lydia.
Okay. Bob, Lydia?
Lydia declined.
Lydia
Thank
declined.
You,
okay, I cross it. Okay, so Bob is who else?
I'd like to ask whether Thomas would be willing to do some of that work.
Thomas?
Given his insight into what's a waste of time.
Mr. Ruffin?
What day is that?
You wouldn't have to be there. You just have to do the work to organize it with the ED.
Yeah. You and Bob and
that's
ED.
January
nobody work. Else comes forward.
The meeting will be Friday, January 25th. But you don't have to be at it.
I don't have to be there. Yeah, okay, I'll do it.
Okay, so it's Thomas and Bob. Who else?
Wasn't it two that we decided?
Two, that's it.
Well,
we can have other nominations.
These are nominations. Anyway.
Oh. I'll volunteer to do it. This is Wendy. But, I mean, I really do... Okay.
Wendy.
I'll do it. See.
Who else?
But you know what? If I don't, then we could be
Nobody
done.
Else. So we have three candidates.
No, Wendy, if you want it, I'll get ready to drop out.
I don't. It's work that I can't... I don't have time to do, but...
Wendy.
I withdraw my volunteerism.
Okay. So Wendy withdrew her volunteerism. Okay. The only volunteers left are Bob and Thomas. Is there any objections to approving Bob and Thomas to work with the ED?
This is Bob?
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I must decline, but thank you anyway.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
I'll re-volunteer then.
Okay. So, Thomas and Wendy. Anyone else? Okay.
This is Ray.
Okay, Ray, go ahead.
In light of what I said earlier, I would suggest that if these are the two, since they're not from New York, that they work informally with New York folks in terms of, you know, finding out which local resources are available and contact information and so on.
Well, they will have to do something, but, you know. But you want to nominate anyone else, or that's it?
No, that's it.
Okay, if that's it, is there any objections to accepting these two nominations, Thomas and Wendy?
Just a little point of correction or whatever. Ray, we're meeting in New Jersey, not New York. Just checking.
Oh, okay.
Can we announce that? We don't know that.
I'm sorry.
New Jersey, not New York, Ray. Okay, no, just.
Do we know
the venue?
Okay. All right. So Thomas and Wendy, these are two candidates nominated. Any discussion on them, or that's it?
This is Bob.
Move acceptance by acclamation.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I just was unclear from the motion. Does this mean that will the task force come back to the board with the plan, before the meeting?
No, the motion states that these two people and ED are empowered to organize the Friday's meeting. They're empowered. That means they are responsible and they will organize and whatever it takes.
Okay, well, could I just request that at least there be maybe about a week's notice if possible, just so we're kind of prepared for whatever the plan is.
And can I get on that?
You want?
Can I get on
just
there?
Just a second here, hold it. Bob, so you want to make some kind of a motion here, or what?
Well, I don't know if there has to be a motion, if that's just the general understanding. And I don't know if this is the time, but I also wanted to make a comment just about the public versus executive session aspect of this. Is that
I'm getting out my pad of paper.
Well,
Sarv, is that in order
now? Right now, we're just looking at this. First of all, let's approve those two candidates here. Forward. And then after that, if you want to make comments, then we can do that. How about that?
Ready?
So any objection to Thomas and Wendy working with the ED and organizing the Friday session in Newark and New York area?
New Jersey area.
And if we can, by unanimous consent, we let them do that, that'd be wonderful.
Thank you.
May I be on the stack, please?
Okay, so that's it. So there are no objections. So Wendy and Thomas, you guys are in charge and work with the ED to organize Friday.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, I guess a proposal. I mean, it might have to be a motion or whatever. But I just want to say, in terms of the Racism and Sexism Committee, because we did meet last night and we agreed, although for slightly different purposes, but we did agree that that the training should take place in March, especially since there's so much uncertainty regarding these elections. And I just have to take this as sort of a point of, personal privilege or whatever, but it seems like almost every time this committee is mentioned, there's always digs at it and talking about its work, and I kind of think that's somewhat disrespectful. And
that's fine.
Certainly if, people are entitled to their position, but if people thought, with the position that Thomas took, that it's a waste of time, many of us would still be enslaved.
Thank
but anyway, that's
you.
An aside.
Thank
I just
you,
wanted
Lisa.
To say that.
Thank you. Thank
but
Bob,
I
you
just
had
wanted...
Some-
No, I'm sorry. I'm not finished. But what I would like to say, although we are not requesting a training, I would like to ask that the board or put forward as a motion that we at least allow 2 hours. 1 hour, I would say, for the discussion, because we would definitely like to make a report. But we would also like to look at the other committees that have been created that do similar work, like, in terms of how we can work together. And I think that we need to, I would like to say, at least in our concentrating on the Racism and Sexism Committee, and then that would include how we could work with the Committees of Inclusion and the Race and Nationality Policy. But I also think that there should even be some time allotted beyond that for looking at the other committees as well, if they would like to. Not just, you know, not necessarily like a committee report, but looking at how we're working together. You know, maybe there might be some issues that have arisen and even within the other committees. And I think we need to at least give 2 hours to that kind of a discussion. So that's what I would like to propose that we do for the in-person January meeting.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that would do that.
Point of order?
Go ahead.
Well, we just passed a motion talking about how we were going to have these people do one part of it, and then we also discussed how the chair and the ED would be setting up the Saturday and Sunday part of the meeting. So I got out my pad of paper when Lisa said, can we have 2 hours on this kind of stuff? And I wrote it down, and I bet the chair did too. I don't think it would be appropriate to pass a motion on how to spend 2 hours of the PNB meeting after we just went through all that.
All right.
Well, I mean, maybe not, but I just want to propose
it. Just hold it.
I'm sorry.
Would that be acceptable to everyone that all the sentiments that are being expressed here by Lisa and other members here, that the board members and the ED will take into consideration in the formulation of their agenda on Friday?
This is Evelyn. I think that's just what
ahead,
we
Dan.
Decided.
I thought that they're organizing Saturday. I thought that what Lisa wanted was time for their committee to report during the part of the business meeting. Am I misunderstanding? Because if that's the case, then I can just schedule that in constructing the agenda.
I'm putting it out to however, but I just think that this should be a two-hour block of time allotted to talk about the committees. I would like at least an hour, I would say, with the committees involving the Racism and Sexism Committee and the Committees of Inclusion, just to look at how we can work and, you know, just have some real dialogue about some of the maybe the structural things that we may have encountered, where we want to go, and how we can work together. But part of that discussion, it does not just have to be limited to the committees I just mentioned, because there might be other committees as well, and I just think that the board needs to, in general, have some discussion about the committee, you know, the various committees, how we're able to work and or not, or maybe how there might be some structural things involved. But I just think we need to have that kind of a discussion. So I'm open to whenever it happens, you know.
Lisa?
Yes.
I think what Dave meant was that if it's a report format, then that could be incorporated on Saturday or Sunday. And this orientation session, it will be organized by our committee, whatever they think is best. And our racism and sexism issues and the workshops, that will be done in complete in training in our spring ED First Organization Board meeting. So would that be acceptable if it's a report and some discussion that ensues in those time frames, during the reporting time, that be devoted to the issues that you just outlined?
I mean, I don't object, and I would say however the board feels is best that it should be conducted, whether it be Saturday or Friday, it's fine with
me. Okay, all right. Thank you.
This is Ray.
Go ahead.
And then Wendy, please.
Okay, I don't think any committee report is an hour long, so clearly if the way I'm hearing it has been process, and I agree with you, what's moving forward is that part of it should be a reporting as to what's been going on, what are the primary issues involved according to what the committee has been doing and so on. But clearly, it seems that the other part, and maybe that should be the hour, an hour or something, should be part of the so-called training where we're looking at dynamics much more formally and making plans as to how to move forward and have having an educational aspect to it. So that the 2 hours requested or whatever amount of time, and this will be divided in between a report and part of the training. If Elisa sees it that way.
I think that we have two very creative people, Thomas and Wendy, and our interim executive director, very, very brilliant. And they will take into consideration our thoughts here when they're formulating the agenda for Friday meetings. So I think if that's acceptable to everyone, we can move forward. Is that all right? Okay. So next item, Dave. That's it.
I'm sorry, Darv. You would recognize me. This is Bob.
Oh, yo. So go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry.
Okay. First, on the last point that was being discussed, I just wanted to kind of point out, well, Lisa definitely mentioned it, but I just want to clarify that we have the Pacifica National Board adopted a race and nationality policy in 2002, which has been reaffirmed twice since that. That has only been implemented in certain limited ways, and a lot of areas have not been acted on. So it's not simply what we need is not simply reports from committees, although that's part of it. But we need to kind of relook at policies that we've adopted and have a discussion with the new board about and with the executive director about what is a roadmap, if you will, to actually move from fine sentiments on paper to actual in place on the ground actions. So and the same could be said, I think, about some of the other parts of the bylaws about diversity and so forth. So that's on that piece. Now the earlier point I had raised was just, and this isn't a motion, I just want to communicate this now to the two planners who are on the line for the Friday session, is that I think we have to be careful about how much of that training is in executive session versus how much is in public, because I think we've had somewhat of a tendency in the past that the years that I've sat on the board to want to keep things in executive session in case something sensitive comes up. And there certainly are legal issues that can come up that are, you know, legitimate to say this should be in executive session. But a lot of the topics there, I think, can be discussed safely and legitimately without running any legal risks. And certainly the strategic planning, where we talk about the goals that people want to have, and I disagree with Thomas on this, I think that's a useful exercise, particularly if we do it after a presentation by the executive director as to what that person's goals are or would be, or what they would recommend the goals to be. I think that could be a very constructive back and forth with the ED. So, that discussion should be public, and I believe there was one in the past that wasn't public, and I think that was a mistake. So that would be my recommendation, but I won't make it as a motion.
I'm going to be
Margaret, confused. I'd like to get on the stack.
All right. Okay, Margaret, go ahead.
Yeah, just to listen to the discussion, just to make a suggestion for those who are planning the for Thomas and Wendy, that I think it would be worth it to find out, you know, even if informally, but to help to inform you from those of us who were new members of the board, what did we find useful and what we found not useful at the orientation? Because I think that sometimes when you've been on the board for a while and, you know, you're kind of involved in the whole process and you have relationships and there's a lot of inside talk and things that, you know, you understand, that it may be difficult to get a grasp of somebody who's just coming in new and fresh. You know what I mean? And, sure. And may not understand. So I think that it might be helpful to just, you know, just to have a chat or people ask people to send an email or whatever, if they could remember that far, it seemed like 5 years ago now, of what was useful and what was not. Because I do think that we can become entrenched, even though we don't mean to be, and it's all this goodwill and with everything else. But the reality is that somebody new sitting there could sit there and say, what the heck is going on? And it's supposed to be an orientation. And not, I know it's not only an orientation for new people, but for a new board, so to speak. But new people on the board also, you know, have to be considered in that and not left behind in, you know, in formally established relationships and issues.
Thank you, Margaret.
Anybody, please do send your ideas. I think that's great. That's
nice.
A good idea.
That's very nice.
May I get on the stack one more time?
Make a brief, yes. Anyway, first of all, let me find out if there anybody else who wants to speak a little bit. If not, go ahead,
This is just another suggestion, and I mean this was sort of talked about somewhat in what I saw with the notes for the coordinating committee. But just as a suggestion, I think it would also be good and useful if the various committees, and some committees have been good about having written reports, but if there could be like a summary on the committee work that the various committees have done already this year, and maybe just have that prepared, each committee, you know, just, it doesn't have to be very long or detailed, but, you know, some where they're trying to go for the next year, or emotions or whatever that they worked on or that might be lingering, because I think that could be useful to help when these committees are, when people are reseated on these committees again.
Okay. Yeah, the chair should ask for that, ask those chairs to do that.
Okay. Well, that item is finished, and then I'll just turn the chair over to Dave. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Great. Okay, so the next thing we have is the elections. I'm going to try one more time to call Casey while I'm off the line. Sarv, can you hold the chair? And
sure.
Perhaps Dan can start with some background while I try and
sure.
get Casey.
Hi, Dan.
Sarv.
Dan?
Hi, Sarv.
Would you start out a little bit?
Sure, but what would you like me to do?
Oh, but just to give us some your idea about the elections or what's going on here, without going into the confidential nature of things.
Okay. I mean, I could give a status update.
Yeah, status update, and hopefully the National Election Supervisor has conveyed to you the problems and the issues relating to these elections, and his report is supposed to report to you. So go ahead.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll start with the easy stations. Congratulations to KPFT. Their
Yay!
Election's all done, certified, positive, everything, no problem. WPFW, there are no problems yet. The ballots recently went out, have not been counted or returned. Elsewhere, we have problems. At WBAI, as people know, Mitch Cohen and several other people filed a lawsuit against the foundation alleging that they had not received ballots that they were supposed to receive. We have answered that case to court. We believe that we have established that everyone who requested a replacement ballot was given one. Some people given more than one. But the problem is, at the moment, is that the case is kind of expanding. The plaintiffs are making further demands, alternative demands, and which I can't comment on in detail, except to say that if we were to concede to them, we would be involved in, I think, very major violations of the foundation's bylaws. We don't think they make a lot of sense. And after plus B members in New York, we're in a position where we have to fight the case. There's a hearing on January 24, where hopefully the judge will allow us to go ahead and count the ballots and certify the election. We are trying to...
I'd like to ask whether any of this is more appropriate for executive session, since it involves legal issues, confidential legal issues. If you don't feel it... Also, you should know I have Casey on the line with us, at least for
okay,
now.
Okay, well, let's start with Casey, yeah.
Yeah, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Casey.
I am once on a train from Berkeley, where we just finished the KPFA staff vote count to continue the KPFK listener vote count.
Dave, you want to chair now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, before you finish, I just want to make sure, Dan, are you at a reasonable stopping point in your narrative to kick it to Casey, or did you want to add anything else before we go to him?
Well, I would prefer to finish.
Okay,
about halfway through.
Hold on just... Let's have Dan finish in the morning.
Sure. If I did disconnected, just call me back.
Okay, so at BAI, the only thing else I want to say is we're trying to get the hearing to be made sooner, earlier than January 24, because it would be terrific if we could finish that election and the delegates at BAI could elect their PNB representatives before the PNB meeting. At KPFA, the listener sponsor ballots have been counted and the results announced. We are awaiting Casey's certification of that election, which I expect to have happen tomorrow. We have been sued as of today by persons who are complaining that the KPFA election has not been certified and want it to be certified. So that issue is outstanding. The other issue that's outstanding at KPFA is that last night the staff ballots were counted. There are some concerns about whether everyone who voted was eligible to vote and whether everyone who was eligible to vote voted, and I'll let Casey finish on that. Finally, at KPFK, the listener sponsor ballots are to be counted tomorrow because of some problems with the staff ballots. A new balloting has gone out for the staff positions. That was done over the weekend, and Casey can tell you when those votes are expected back.
Great. Thank you. Casey, go for it.
yes. Well, starting with the last thing first, the KPFK staff election had about a quarter of the ballots, 22 of 97, were not verifiable at the time of the vote count. Now, the staff at KPFK is trying to count for those ballots. Some ballots were distributed without being properly recorded by the LES, and so as a prudent backup measure, Marilyn and I sent out a second ballot to each of the staff members at KPFK, so that if the original election could not be certified, we would have as quick a turnaround as possible to get new a new certifiable election. So I have to study the information that the interim GM, Jim Lafferty, has prepared for me that I'll be looking at tomorrow. Regarding the timeline on that is, again, a 31-day turnaround from the date of mailing.
Yeah. Can we ask questions or wait until he's finished?
I'd like to wait until he finishes, and then we can go to questions.
And the part of the reason for that was because the mailing was done at, you know, just right at the brink of the holiday season, and we felt that people might be traveling, and it was best to allow a 31-day turnaround. The LSB has scheduled a meeting for after the vote count would be done, and a week prior to the PNB meeting in January. So if we have to go to the fallback election, then there still will be no problem in making sure that the directors have been elected and have time to get to the PNB. Regarding the KPFA election, there is an unfortunate situation where the staff list kept changing, and the final staff list was not posted until November 15th, which, of course, was supposed to be the election close date, but instead we had to extend the election 31 days from then, and that's why the vote count was done yesterday. There were ballots that were found to be invalid, and there were also a number of attempted ballots that were emailed in. None of those were counted. Only ballots that had certifiable barcodes were counted, and I believe that's a certifiable election. And I intend to certify that and the listener election. Although I will say that the person who came in 10th place in the listener election has asked for a recount because of Biden votes for him that were not counted for him, but counted in the cumulative write-in category. This is one of the faults of the current software we're using to count the election, is that it counts all write-ins as one entity. But we're looking for a workaround on that. In the meantime, because we have an active write-in candidate at KPFK in the listener election, we are basically forced to do a hand count to make sure we have an accurate count, and that will recommence tomorrow. And we'll work through the night, and I believe that by Friday afternoon we should have our results. Regarding WPFW, we had problems with the mailing house after initially having problems getting enough candidates to run. Unlike some stations, WPFW has a history of not getting enough people who are willing to serve on the board. As it is, we only have 10 people running for the 9 seats, so there is a concern about reaching quorum. Nonetheless, after a great delay at the mailing house, we the ballots mailed out. They have been arriving, and the vote count, if we make quorum, will be early January. Otherwise, we'll have to extend for quorum if we haven't quorum by the election close date. In Houston, I'm glad to report everything is done, and there are no problems there. Regarding WBAI, I am actually within the last hour working on the affidavit, updating it for our court case, and that needs to be filed on Friday. So that will be finished and faxed to the attorney who's representing us there, Dan and Michael Silverman, this evening. And I'd be happy to take any questions. I will certainly be, in my final report, be commenting on how we might improve matters and avoid some of these problems in future elections.
Before we go to questions, I'd like a brief round of applause for KPFT. Which is completed.
Yeah. Hey, hooray for Texas.
Yay.
Texas.
Yay.
Okay. Yay. This is, it has a sort of sad feel to it, though. Okay, well, it's open for questions. Who has questions for Casey?
I would like to be on the stack.
Or Dan. Yes, Lisa.
Just so you,
yeah, Barbara would like to be on the stack.
Sarv.
I just wanted to be clear that somebody distracted me a moment. But when you were talking about KPFK, I believe you said you had to extend the elections. By how long did you have to extend them? I thought I heard you say that.
How long did I have to extend which?
I thought when we were talking about KPFK, I heard you mention that you had to extend the elections. And I would like to know, I would like you to repeat what you said about that, please.
Okay, well, actually, what we did was we assumed a lack of quorum for the original close date, which was November 26th, 31 days after the mailing of the ballots. And we did do a count that day and found that indeed we had not met quorum at that point. And so with the extension of 15 days, we did make the quorum. So, yeah, that was basically the 15-day quorum extension that we just front-loaded because of not having made quorum last year. There was a concern about making it this year, and a great deal of cooperation, particularly toward the end of the election, from the interim general manager and the station staff helped to put us over a quorum.
Margaret.
I have a question about the KPFK elections, but for full disclosure, I have to say that I am a candidate in the staff election. So, can I nevertheless ask a question about it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand and can get some clarity from you, Casey, that in terms of the questionable ballots that have been distributed, that there was a staff member who has publicly endorsed a particular staff and listener slate and was part of sending out a paid mailer on this, who was given ballots for distribution and who indeed has been the staff person at the station working to quote-unquote verify who got what ballots. And I believe the information that was given, submitted by the IGM, was information that at least in great part was collected by this particular staff member, who also sent an email out to the staff list listing the names of the candidates who were given out ballots and then the number, I guess, of the ballots next to it. And this seems to be a bit of a conflict of interest and a little unusual for that information then to be used as the basis on whether or not the election should be redone. So I just wanted to ask, what was the objective basis that this information was collected, given that it was...
Well, I find out, actually... let me back up a little bit. On the day of the vote count, we discovered, first of all, we, of course, verify the ballots prior to the count, and we found that 22...
Oh, Casey, there's one other thing, too. Sorry, because I may not have a chance to continue with a follow-up question, which is that I also had understood that there was a public counting of those staff ballots so that some people know how that count went, and
I was about to explain that, Margaret. So we verified the ballots, found that 22, that's about a quarter of the ballots that we had, were not verifiable, which is a very large percentage, and that raised some concern. So I announced to everybody that we would count the election first, with and then without those ballots to see if there was a difference, and if there was, that I would be sending out new ballots. We did the count, found there was a difference, and of course to me it doesn't matter who gets elected, and part of my job is to be dispassionate about this, but the fact that there was a significant difference was the primary factor that prompted me to send out the new set of ballots. It wasn't until we'd already prepared those ballots for mailing that I learned from the local election supervisor that she had given not only ballots to people individually and not recorded them, but had given several ballots to one person to distribute to others, and that, of course, is completely improper handling of election materials, and that would be, I believe, a sufficient reason to go with the new vote the revote rather than to try to figure out which of the ballots are verifiable in the original vote. Of the 75 that we presumed to be verified, of course, some are possibly original ballots that may, upon verification of replacement ballots, be voided because the when we give out a replacement ballot, we void the original ballot. That's what the personal identification number is for, to make sure that the ballots can only be voted once. So, again, like I said, I have to look at the information that's now being provided. I will be getting it from Jim Lafferty tomorrow, and will be able to assess the situation more clearly at that point.
This is Lydia.
Dave?
Wendy, please, after Lydia.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, questions are waiting if you didn't already.
Should I go ahead?
Sarv is next. I'm sorry I was muted. Sarv, then Lydia,
thank
then Wendy.
Thank you very much. Could somebody please mute your...
Hang on. Margaret, we can hear
sorry.
You.
We might be here for some time. But not to worry, if any of you are going further north, that is a guaranteed connection. So if you're going to San Diego or any of the stops, not to worry, that's a guaranteed connection.
I'm sorry, could you hold just one moment?
Yeah,
I think it's Casey's train.
Pound. Oh, no, you can't do pound one.
Okay. The
announcement.
I'm sorry. There's an announcement going on the train. My apologies.
Yeah, I thought, why don't you just hold on a minute and...
The running time between here and Santa Barbara is approximately 35 minutes. We'll keep you posted as we hear more, and once again, we apologize for the delay.
Okay, yeah, I'm back in reality. Go ahead.
That's really a controversial statement. But anyhow, go, Sarv?
Thank you. Thank you, Casey, and thank you for your hard work, and I hope your train rides between stations are exhilarating and happy ones. I'm going to start asking you about a couple of questions, and I'm going to lay out some framework here. These elections are supposed to be conducted and finished by December 1st, right, and certified?
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. So these are the bylaws requirements, and the elections can be extended 2 weeks. To be counted, a ballot must be received on or before November 15th, and all ballots shall be held sealed until election close date. If the required quorum of ballots is not received by the election date, then the election's close date shall be extended by 2 additional weeks. These are the bylaws. So do you think
those are the old bylaws that we have voted to replace because they were logistically unrealistic.
Now, have the new bylaws, has it been passed by the body?
Yes, but they're not in effect at this point.
They are not in effect. So under what authority did you implement them, if you did?
Well, there was the precedent of 2004 when Kenny Mostern had to extend the election because of problems with the mailing house, and it was set back. In this case, we were threatened with a lawsuit if we mailed the ballots out on time, and I was advised by a foundation counsel that because of the KQED precedent, that our most prudent course of action would be to defer to that demand. And so the ballots in most cases went out about 10 days late. And so that's why, for instance, the KPFK election, instead of being set for November 15th, was set for November 26th, and why the WBAI election was delayed to November 23rd before the court injunction was put in place.
Now, so well, my question then is that the currently bylaws in effect, they have been violated, right?
Well, what we did is we kept the 31-day turnaround rather than the specific date.
But the current bylaws allow you only to extend the time if you do not meet quorum.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask you a couple of questions here. The date today is, what is it, 20th, 19th, December 19th. And you have extended time for elections at KPFA, listeners, and some. How many times?
The listener election at KPFA was counted on November 16th.
And then if it was counted on November 15th, what I don't understand why you have not certified elections.
Because controversies surrounding that election, there was 12 of the candidates threatened to sue if certified.
Mr. Peters, you cannot be... It's not a question of whether somebody threatened you this and that. That's not the determining factor for you to run elections.
You asked him a question, let him
I
answer.
I asked him questions and I want him to respond.
You're not letting him.
I'm, okay,
Wendy,
go ahead.
Can you,
go ahead.
Sarv has the floor. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Why have you not certified the election of KPFA?
As Dan reported, I'm in the process of writing my report to do that.
Do you know there are legal actions pending here, and you're putting the foundation at risk?
Well, I know that there's legal action on both sides, and that
who's
there's
pay for that?
Likely to be sued whether I certified it or not. Yes, because there were a number of irregularities in the election, and I don't know if you want me to.
No, you don't. We'll take in the executive session.
Point of order.
Talk about that.
Yeah, what's the point of order?
Well, you're allowing some back and forth here. It's the typical procedure is that you ask a question, then the person answers it. Whenever I try to kind of respond as it comes up, it's not allowed.
I'll accept that point of order. I was allowing the back and forth to clarify the questions, but I think that Casey's answered as best he can, so each of the questions. So rather than having a debate about it, I think we should proceed.
Okay, I'll ask another question. Why did you make candidate nomination packets available 18 days after the deadline specified in the bylaws?
Before you answer that, Dan, I just want to ask, you know, my concern is that this debate and this question, given that there are pending legal actions, could, you know, constitute evidence in any hearing. Dan, do you have any problem with this proceeding in public session?
So far I do not. I am refraining from commenting on some of the current items until we get into closed session.
Okay. Go ahead, Casey, and then I'm going to start after that. I'm going to go to other people that are waiting to ask questions, and if you still have more, we can come back to you.
Okay.
But go ahead, Casey, with the answer.
Okay. First of all, I need that question repeated and clarified, but secondly, I'd like to ask Dan to intercede if he feels that I shouldn't answer something in public session.
Mr. Chairman, my question is, I can repeat.
He's doing it again.
Mr. Chairman,
I asked him to.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll repeat the question.